folks from Dresser, are they here now, Amber?
Yes.
And that's a Mr. Widmer, Carl Widmer, and Erica Handley. Is that correct?
Good evening. How's everyone?
Good. How are you today, sir? Everybody
I'm fine.
Good
Thank
and healthy
you.
And semi-happy anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing well.
That's a good sign. I guess we could get right into the purpose of the meeting is you're finishing up your summation of what you've been doing over the last months. So you got the floor.
Chairman. Yeah, we're asked to come to another audit committee meeting really to go over the management letter. And that was not quite in draft form to share with the group at the time we had our last meeting just about a month ago. But we did circulate a draft along with the draft financial statements back September 21st and asked Amber to circulate that to the group for review and comment. There had been a couple edits that Amber provided to us, and the current draft that she attached to the invite to this meeting does reflect those changes. However, there were no substantial changes to the letter from the first version that went out late September. So I think this is a bit of a first to just go over the management letter, but I think if everyone has the draft in front of them, we can walk through the format of the letter and then also the individual comments in each. Unless anybody has objections and would want to go about it a different way, we can just sort of walk through the draft draft management letter.
I mean, I think that's okay. You sure. Guys all right? Okay, you're on.
So the first two pages is the standard wording of a management letter. Essentially, it reiterates that we didn't have any reportable findings, as I had mentioned at the last audit committee meeting, no significant deficiencies, and no material weaknesses in internal control. However, we do mention that there are other areas that we observed and that are included in this exhibit one. So when you move on to page three, that begins the individual items that make up the management letter. And Ulster County has requested that we present a format for which it follows up on prior year comments so that they don't just get issued and then fall to the wayside. They say, okay, if it hasn't been resolved in the year of the audit, then maybe we should roll it forward to the next year and make sure that the county is satisfied with how that individual comment's been addressed. So the first section of Exhibit 1, starting on page 3, is going to include comments that were issued in previous management letters. The first item is called formalization of procedures. And essentially for each of these follow-ups, we circulated the draft and we've worked on gaining responses through contacts, various contacts at the county. Amber was essential in this process. She sort of was our liaison to getting accurate follow-up information here. So when you walk through, it basically says this comment, the gist of it is, while there are procedures and informal practices at the county on different areas, we recommend that a formalization of a policy may be most appropriate, really in efforts of making it an easier task when the person who's handling these areas passes it on to another person, or if anybody inquires how things are being done, it's easiest to point to a policy. So there were five different policy areas that we included.
Excuse me.
Yes.
John, do you have your hand raised?
I do, just a procedural question. Do you want us to wait till the end or if we have questions as you
listen, go? No, please, let's keep it
please,
a conversation.
Please do. I know you're a lot younger than me, but I would have forgotten by the end. So
okay.
Please, that's the right thing.
So when you say formalization of policies, is that only the financial or are you aware of a systemic problem that the entire county, that there is no formalized process for creating, approving, and maintaining policy and procedures?
No systemic problem. These are individual policies that come up throughout the course of our audit. We noted whether we're reviewing an actual policy or if it's someone explaining how things are handled rather than a formal policy that we can, you know, hold and look at.
Okay, so these are exceptions, not the rule.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John.
So there are five areas that were covered in here. You can read through the bulleted list, but the first four are still at a status where they haven't been addressed or they haven't been resolved. So it looks like these four and this comment will roll forward into next year's audit and will be included as another follow-up comment because they haven't yet been formalized. Comptroller?
Yeah. I have a couple questions and then I have a suggestion. The first question is, you know, we have a bank reconciliation policy that both finance and the comptroller's office, I believe, are largely satisfied with. Our last edit to that was September 3rd. And I think finance has been busy with budget and CAFR, but I expect it to be ready to roll. Is this something that needs to come back to this committee for approval? Who is the recommended approving authority on a bank reconciliation policy, for example?
You know, it's going to vary by entity. This is really the fact that it doesn't qualify as a significant deficiency or a reportable finding. We would defer to the county. So if you're satisfied and the audit committee would agree that the condition that the bank rec policy, for example, is in is sufficient and adequate, and they wouldn't want to see this included in next year's management letter, then we could include that in the 2019 follow-up. But in the follow-up that we were provided, it says it's not been formalized and is still considered a work in progress. So by default, it would be included next year until it was considered resolved.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying, like, once we are fully in agreement and there's absolutely nothing to change, what is required to get approval? It's just our two departments?
John? I would ask the question, what is our policy on policies? And I know that sounds crazy, but you're supposed to have a policy on policies. I have it where I work. It's a policy on who creates it, who's responsible, how many times you have to review it, whether it's annually, semi-annually, biannually, and what's the who's the approver. Whatever the policy is, I think that's what he's saying, is that it's up to the county to decide that process.
Which means the board, John.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Yes.
So, Don, I think that our policy on policies would be the county charter, which states that the legislature is the policy-making body for the county. So, I think it would be, if the comptroller, would like to help formalize that policy, I think by resolution would be the proper way to go about that.
So, Chairman, my request is that we consider, my role on this committee is ex officio, but I'm making a request to you that you set a January or February meeting where we can bring you the bank reconciliation policy and a couple of other things that the committee could review before passing on to the legislature, so that next time Drescher Malecki is looking, we can check it off.
You know, Madam Controller, you must be clairvoyant, because I have that down on my little list for a meeting later on.
Excellent.
So, thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay, now I have, was my question. Now I have a suggestion. And maybe they're both suggestions, but in the 2018 management letter, it was discussed that not only did we lack a cybersecurity policy, but that we should obtain cybersecurity insurance. I did not see a note cleaning that up, but I want you to know our current policy with Reese Insurance has a cybersecurity component. So I think it would be nice to include something in this letter that acknowledges that that part of the note has been addressed. And I'm happy to send over. Right now, all I have is an invoice for that feature of our insurance. But I wanted you to know that cybersecurity insurance is something that we do have. And I also want to raise this issue for the rest of the committee that there was a consultant hired by the legislature in 2019, Eisner something or other.
Eisner-Ampner.
Say it again?
Eisner-Ampner.
Eisner-Ampner, thank you. I have the contract. Their services were due to be finished and rendered by November and of last year of 2019. And indeed, there is a pretty extensive report and a draft resolution that I cannot determine what happened to that.
I did provide you, Drescher.
Pardon me?
Excuse me?
I did provide that report to Carl in our communication, so they are okay. aware of that.
Great. So that might be another thing, Chairman, that we want to bird dog in 2021 so that it doesn't continue to be on the list. And I think that some of the language used in describing the cybersecurity policy and the risk assessment, the IT risk assessment, we're using different words between years, different descriptors for those things. So, I just think consistency would be helpful, but I wanted to note, like, it's out there, it hasn't really been addressed, and it's something that I think we could work on in early 21.
You have that in your notes. Okay, yeah. Very good.
Okay, sir? Great.
All right, Comptroller, thank you. I think we can update, if you could provide the evidence of the insurance piece.
Great, I will do that.
To me,
I will send
new
it to Amber today.
So thank you. So we can update the 2019 follow-up on the cybersecurity policy. Great. And the comments about hiring that independent firm to look at the IT policies, that is included in wording in the 2019 follow-up, but I understand you just want to make a point to address it soon so it could come off the letter, right?
Right.
Okay. Very good. The construction in progress is the last one in that first comment, and that is the one item that was addressed during the year. The capital assets policy was amended to include comments towards construction in progress. So as that was brought on through resolution, that piece will be removed from this comment going forward. The next item was a debt management policy. This was a comment rooted under the previous engagement partner, Tom Malecki. I think it goes back even to conversations two plus years ago, but it is in here. And essentially, if you look at the 2019 follow-up, the response is that the legislature, essentially they evaluated this comment and recommendation and decided to move forward without taking action on adopting a debt management policy per these recommendations.
Mark?
Yeah, informally, maybe after this meeting, if somebody could direct me to the minutes where that is done, because I've gone back to your committee minutes in this committee, and I don't really see a specific discharge of concern in that area. I see a lot of bantering about, but was it resolved in committee? Did it go to the full legislature? I can't put my arms around that. So that would be helpful.
All right.
It is not presented to the body. It stayed in audit committee.
And maybe Amber, just as a follow-up, you can tell me which set of minutes I should be looking at to see that.
Okay.
Does it ever come up again? Is it something we ignore forever? That just seems like, in the minutes that I saw, we had a phantom debt management policy and storage. I just, I think, is it something that we just never address again? I don't know.
Well, if we have a meeting in January or February,
yeah,
you've got your notes. Amber has her notes, and we can do that and resolve them either yes or no.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sir?
Sure. The next follow-up of prior years was the cybersecurity policy, and I think we already alluded to that. So this comment will be rolled forward and included next year. The following item was titled succession planning, and essentially the recommendation was to perform an assessment of key positions throughout the county that may be vulnerable to turnover in the coming years and put together a formal plan for how to address cross-training and develop a succession plan for each of those positions to mitigate the risk of lost efficiencies experienced through a turnover. I mean, there's institutional knowledge, all those sorts of things that need to be addressed when you do have turnover in a key position. This was another one that was evaluated and decided to be passed on with no formal policy put together on the succession plan. I do believe there was sections in the county charter that the legislature believed to address the key areas related to succession planning. Amber, is that correct? Was that the discussion last year on this one?
Can you say that one more time, please?
That there was language in the county charter regarding the succession planning?
I don't remember off the top of my head specific discussions related to the charter.
Okay. Well, in either scenario, it is important to remember that all of these comments were under the umbrella of improvements and best practices. These aren't requirements or audit findings, if you want to take it that way. So that succession planning was evaluated and will be passed on. The next one from prior year, this was rooted from an update to the uniform guidance, and the uniform guidance is the federal government's guidance when we perform your single audit over federal awards. We perform it in accordance with the uniform guidance. They came out that there should be a cash management policy surrounding federal awards. Last year, we pushed that out to many of our clients that go through single audits. And after going through a year of it and learning more, it really pertains most to those federal programs that hand out money to the recipients prior to it being earned or spent. So if you receive funds in advance, this is more pertinent to you. So upon review, we noted and communicated to the group here that this isn't really applicable to the county's federal program. So we look through the larger federal programs that are included in your single audit, and all of them are on a reimbursement basis. So it rendered this one not really applicable. So we're gonna pass on that and it'll be removed for next year. The final item with a wrap up for prior years were the future reporting requirements. So the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, or GASB, they issue pronouncements that dictate and provide guidance for how governments should be presenting their financial statements and certain accounting treatments. There's a number of them. We're up to number 97. So at this point last year, let's see, I think it only went up to 90 last year if you look at it. But essentially, we just provide what the effective date would be on those items and say, hey, here's a heads up. They're on the horizon. And in the event the county would need assistance from us in implementing, we're here to help. It is important to note it affects the follow-up from last year. And we also have this section for new GASBs that were recently issued over the course of the last year. GASB statement number 95 was issued. And what it does is provide some relief to governments for implementing new GASB standards as part of a COVID relief plan. They're allowing essentially a one-year postponement on the effective dates of all issued and outstanding GASBs. So the GASB statements that are provided in the management letter this year, all those effective dates represent a one-year postponement. Any questions on the prior year's comments, Comptroller?
Yeah. Yep. I just want to ask whether GASB 83, which has to do with retiring assets that may come with liabilities, whether we think that there are assets in our portfolio like Tech City that has contamination issues, or the former county jail site that has asbestos issues, that will trigger this provision?
That really is the question that will be discussed in preparation for next year's financial statements. I would think it's appropriate to inform finance. I know they're not sitting in right here, but they do author the CAFR and give the first go at putting together the financial statements. So it'd be appropriate to bring it up with them and review. And if there's additional questions on how to proceed, you know, we're here as a resource and we can help run through it as well.
Luckily, we don't have a county landfill yet.
Oh, no. Yeah, send it to Mars.
Just 2 points on that, to the comptroller's point. Technically, the county is not currently in ownership of the old jail property has been transferred to an LDC. And then, you know, a lot of the properties that would have significant environmental problems are not actually taken by the county. They're sort of held in abeyance.
Thank you.
But it's sort of still an issue to be aware of.
And the LDC is really a county entity. So
yeah. Sort of, kind of, but not really.
All right. Yeah. Is that it, sir?
That's the follow-up from last year's. There were two new comments that I spoke to during our last meeting. I can give a brief summary for each of those, but what I'd really like to make sure is that this group is comfortable with the wording and they approve of the wording and these items being included in the formal management letter. That's the real point of distributing it early and holding it in draft form, is to make sure everyone is comfortable with how it comes off and its inclusion in the letter. So before we give any summaries, did anybody have any comments on those two, those being the coronavirus impact and the adoption assistance eligibility checklist items?
Legislator Gavaris, are you? All right. Okay.
All right, so just a brief reminder then. The coronavirus impact, we just wanted to bring up that the county's current efforts of budget planning and forecasting for the future, we encourage it to be flexible. Essentially, can it adapt to different scenarios? Can it be presented in a short-term versus a long-term outlook? Really, all the information that we're getting, even month by month, is really important and impacts how we're going to plan for future budgets. So having a budget plan or forecasting model that can adapt to such changes on a short notice like that will be helpful. Also, we want to make sure that all that work being done isn't going to waste. We're aware that Bert, in regards to the budget, does some performance measures. Amber, I know that you said you've been working on forecasting ideas and everything. We just want to make sure that that work and effort is going to the people that need it to make well-informed decisions. So are these plans, are these models being communicated adequately to the decision makers at the county, to the legislature? The other item was about the adoption assistance program. We covered it pretty well last time, but essentially there's a checklist out there that's available to be used by administrators of this program to help walk through individuals' eligibility requirements and to make sure that each individual participating in this program is indeed eligible to receive the benefits. 9 out of the 25 weren't using this checklist. We communicated that to management there. We worked primarily with Jennifer Squires over, she's the Senior Social Welfare Services Examiner. And she agreed that the checklist is beneficial and she would also encourage its use in every file, but that it's really subject to the individual, you know, on the ground performing those interviews and questionnaires, whether they're going to use that checklist or not. So it's going to be tone at the top over there and encouraging the use that, you know, really, like, you shouldn't put this file away unless you're using this checklist. It's a good tool. It's a good way to make sure that everything's taken care of. Outside of that, we have the new GASBs listed, and that concludes the management letter draft.
All right. Amber, you've always had conversations with me about some things. Is there anything you want to ask, add, or question?
So the only thing that I guess I could speak to right this moment is that with respect to the coronavirus impacts, this kind of goes hand in hand. I had reached out to Carl and asked if there was any discussion that took place regarding the decision not to include subsequent event disclosure that the use of the tax stabilization reserve fund has been requested to be authorized. And there was what the answer that I got was that there was no conversation between finance and Drescher and Malecki regarding that. And from Drescher and Malecki's point of view, the not having it in the financial statements doesn't make them misstated. So I was looking for some conversation about the reason behind that decision. And that does impact the projections for next year.
Thanks, Amber. On the message that I responded to Amber is really the way the measuring stick really as an auditor of judging what would qualify as being included as a subsequent event would be if the information was omitted, would the financial statements be misleading to a reader of the financial statements? We concluded that they wouldn't be, that the financial statements omitting that disclosure still fairly present the balances as of 12/31 and the revenue and expenditures as of the 12 months there ended. We did believe, or we reviewed the disclosure that was in the issued financial statements, which gives a short narrative that COVID came into play and it will have an impact. But without a set dollar amount, we didn't believe that the request to authorize the use of going into fund balance in future budgets merited being specifically disclosed in the funds.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? All right, well, thank you for your efforts, thank you for your time, and we'll be moving forward.
All right. I guess just to get it on the books here, Amber, will we just look to you for a final communication saying that the audit committee is in approval of the letter in this form and then we can move forward with release?
Yes,
are you guys
I would say
that. Changes that we talked about for cybersecurity?
Yes, that's a good point. Thank you, March. I do believe that was the only change in text to the letter as is. So we can update for that item and send the updated draft to Amber. And Amber, if you could just confirm that it's in a final form, we could move forward putting it on letterhead and signing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the committee or Madam Controller?
No.
This is an interesting meeting for me because I think Donaldson put me on this committee as a punishment tour, you know, because a lot of this could be Mandarin for me, you know. However, I learned some stuff. It wasn't a bad meeting, actually, and I thank everybody for participating. We do have to go down the road and discuss, and I don't see a problem with it, but exercising our option for next year. And I suppose it's up to this committee, there's three of us here, to move forward to authorize the option for the second and final year of their five-year contract. Is that right, Amber?
Three-year contract with two options to renew. So this will be year three.
This will be year three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 3 plus 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're into how many years now?
We are 2 down and we can continue the contract for the third year.
Okay.
If the committee approves.
Anybody want to talk about that? I mean, what's going to be coming up then next year is an RFPs and conversations as to to what we'll be doing in the future. But right now, I guess nothing's imminent, but I haven't heard of any complaints. Haven't heard of any problems. It's still, I assume, up to the legislature to make the final decision. Would that be correct, Amber?
Yes.
Yes. So, Ken, John, your comments? I mean, I think we could put something forward and get it presented to the legislature so we're at least we're on solid ground as to where we're going.
Yeah, Ken stepped out, it looks like, but I mean, I'm new, so I'm unfamiliar with the previous history, good or bad, so I don't really have a standpoint. I guess I'd like to hear from Ken and any others who have been involved in the audit committee before jumping on board. But I mean, you know, I haven't heard anything, but that doesn't always mean something.
Neither have I, John.
Yeah.
Ken, are you still... He's having a sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, where do we go? What do we do? Well, anybody got an idea?
I mean,
I just like to move forward. It's you know, to me, it's a little like we could move forward, but if something comes up, it still has to go to a higher authority. And I do think, ironically, I did think we should try to have a meeting if we're still on the committee in January to tie all these other things together. And so whatever your pleasure is okay with
me. I think once we get the revised...
John, it's just you and me now.
I think once we get the revised management letter, if we can call a quick meeting again just to review it and approve it, and this way it can get adopted. And then there we can discuss the renewal. And also, I think we, if, again, saying to what you just said, if we are still on this committee for next year, I think we need to set up, either some type of regular meeting to ensure that these items that are listed as follow-ups actually get followed up and completed,
yeah,
rather than just be here again in October and September and we still haven't done anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why Dave made me do this. All right. Well,
can I ask, was John, were you suggesting that the management letter has to come back to this committee for approval before the end of the year?
Well, isn't that the process? Doesn't this committee have to approve?
You don't have to do a formal motion and a vote, but you do have to approve it. So I think I can do email, and if it turns out that it's anything different, I'll absolutely let you guys know. But I believe that the procedure would be I can get your approval and send it to Drescher.
Okay.
Then if you come together in January or early in the year, I'm sure we can have that bank rec policy ready for your review.
Okay.
Great. Since it's pretty much ready right now. Yeah.
Anything else? Well, John, you can move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor? Carried. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
And bye, John.
Yep. And be healthy, kiddo. Everybody.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.